It's not just about watching the game. It's about betting on it. I'm Mike Valeni, and on Cash the Ticket, Jim Costa and I break down every college football and NFL matchup like it's the last game we're ever going to watch, from the best bets to the sneaky underdogs. And of course, as my co-host likes to say, the value. And the one thing we're not going to do is pretend we're professionals. We have fun with it. It's an entertainment product, and it makes watching games a hell of a lot of fun. So Cash the Ticket, follow it in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
It's 5 o'clock. 5 o'clock. This is primetime on Football Friday. 1080 The Fan.
We're going to ring that championship bell.
60 minutes. Let's open up the whole can of kick ass and kill them all. Let the paramedics sort them out. Ready? Bam.
This is a Football Friday edition of Primetime with Isaac and Souk.
Brought to you by the Odyssey app. Download the Odyssey app, follow 1080 The Fan, and enable push notifications to get the latest on the Ducks, Beavers, Blazers, and more.
On 1080 The Fan.
All right. Welcome back. Good little Friday. It's hot out there.
Oh, yeah.
It's smoky, but damn it, are we doing a good show for you?
As far as you know.
Sada.
It is Rop, that's me, Big Sook's right over there.
Sada.
We got Jordan Schultz for one more day.
Yeah, good to see you guys.
So when's the NFL game kick here?
Shortly.
Yeah, 10 minutes-ish.
All right. I'm going to have to, no offense to BYU-SMU, but you're about to get the heave for the birds in the pack.
Coming up here, we'll get Joey Harrington's worry level for Oregon after the Idaho game and what he expects to see against Boise State. That'll be 5:30. Tonight in the club, we get to talk Hell's Angels, and let's learn about dry drowning.
Yeah, dry drowning.
You ever heard of that?
No.
That sounds terrible.
Sounds freaky.
It does, doesn't it? Well, so
like
the...
a bathtub sort of thing?
Well, do you remember the Italian yacht that got hit by the water tornado or whatever?
Yeah, that I assumed and still do that it's a fake death situation.
So they've now come out and said, like, they've done autopsies because they've recovered the bodies.
Allegedly.
And the people that were pulled from under the water in the wreckage, they died of dry drowning.
I don't know what that is.
Well, that's why we're going
to
talk about
it. We need to explore this. It does sound, it sounds terrifying.
Gosh, are we already ready for
that? Are we on time? Is that what's happening right now?
Is this,
what time is it? 5:05.
Pretty good.
What are we doing?
I don't really know.
I'm uncomfortable right now.
It seems like there was something else I was going to tell you.
You had something there on the tip, and now nothing?
I can't remember.
Did it involve making fun of Buck?
No. Mm-hmm. I love my Buck.
I know. I didn't like the Buck was taking all those strays today.
Yeah. We're going to have to talk to him about that on Monday, if he returns.
One of these days, you know he's not going to. These days, again, Buck's counting down the days until his rich family comes through and tells him that he doesn't have to work anymore.
Oh, I know what I was going to tell you. I got one more little tease, and that is that we'll take a look at the college football slate this weekend when we come back for our next segment. And in there will be AI Kyle Whittingham.
Oh.
And you don't know this,
yeah,
but you need that.
Well, I need AI.
Go ahead and climb out of my ass for a while.
Is it as good as that?
Yes.
Because that's the best AI thing that we've had in maybe ever.
Yeah, the AI Kyle Whittingham is better than that.
Oh, I cannot wait.
I think you're going to like it.
Dude, I'm pulsing right now. I'm so excited.
So I think we are ready for the hot 5 at 5.
Why not?
Oh.
Hot topics, hot opinions.
Oh, golly, I'm hot today.
And hot air. It's time for the Hot 5 at 5.
That's hot.
The Hot 5 at 5 on Primetime with Isaac and Sue.
No, I mean it. That's very hot.
The Hot 5 at 5 with Isaac and Sue. Brought to you on the fan by Victorico's Mexican Food, the most popular burrito spot in Oregon. Online at victorico's.com. Number five.
Well, it sounds like the Mariners are actually going to retain Jerry DePoto in the front office.
And maybe give him an extension?
I mean,
the article I read said that that they're not getting rid of him, that he'll be here this year and next year and possibly beyond. And then it said there's no details on the extension, but it made it seem like they gave him an extension.
Is this a good idea, Schultzy, our noted Mariners reporter?
No, absolutely not. It's obvious that the franchise doesn't care about winning a World Series. They care about profits, I'm trying to just deal with that today.
Well, to be fair, look, I'm not a DePoto guy. He has assembled a very, very solid team, at least on one end of it. I just can't find anyone that hits. But you can't say that he's terrible.
Mariners are in St. Louis tonight. The D-Bags are at the Astros. Houston's lead over Seattle in the AL West is 4.5. The Mets have won 7 in a row.
Hells yeah.
They are tied with the Bravos in the for the third NL wild card. Right now, the Mets are winning again.
Yeah, who had, by the way, possibly missing the playoffs?
It's tied 2-2 with the Reds in the fifth.
Anyone see that coming?
And the Braves are up 3-0 on the Jays in the third. What happened to the Jays? They suck.
They do suck. The Braves at least have had a bunch of injuries. I don't know why the Jays suck.
We've got the men's semis at the U.S. Open of Tennis. Top seed Yannick Sinner wins in straight sets. He will meet an American in the final. You know, the last time an American was in the men's final at the U.S. Open was Andy Roddick.
That's the last time. Didn't he win it, right?
In 2006. No, this one he lost to Federer.
Because he was the only one.
But he did win.
Yeah, he was that was his only major, was the U.S. Open.
So there's guaranteed to be an American in there because the 12 seed Taylor Fritz is taking on Francis Tiafoe, the 20 seed. Right now, they're both Americans. And at last glance, I had it here for you, Bill. It's 3-1 Fritz in the first set.
Okay. I hate to say it, but tennis is so far off my radar.
I'm pulling for Tiafoe there.
I've lost it.
Fritz is the one with the super hot girlfriend.
Isn't that all of them?
Well,
it's like golfers, really.
She's really high profile because she's kind of turned her whole look into, like, her Instagram. Like, I don't know. She's become famous because she's super hot and she sits over there and...
That's what she does?
Yeah, that's all she does. And she posts, like, as a hot tennis wife.
Oh, yeah.
And she's not even a wife.
Yeah,
she's a girlfriend.
I see it here.
She's a wag.
Yep. Boy, by the way...
Yeah. Yeah.
Good for Taylor Fritz.
Yeah.
And she's got a Livy Dunn thing going for her.
Oh, my God. Yes.
Yeah, she does. What else do I have for you? We have college football tonight.
Yes, we do.
BYU and SMU are playing. I mean, who really cares? But it's, you know, I mean.
Hey, 7-3 Cougs right now.
Mildly interesting. BYU leading 7-3 second quarter. Duke Northwestern, they're a little bit later. If you want to watch that, it's on FS1. Indiana 35-0 over Western Illinois right now.
You said who cares? I'll tell you right now, the BYU game is by far the most interesting game on the slate.
Well, tonight.
Yes.
There's three games, dude. Well,
you said no
and
one
by
cares.
Far it's and not Duke Northwestern do. Is just as mildly interesting.
No,
as
it is not.
BYU SMU.
You rather have the smart kids than the battle for Jesus's love.
Also, highs near 90 tomorrow in Eugene. Kickoff Oregon Boise State, 7 p.m. though, should give you a break from the heat. Fan coverage here starts at 2 o'clock for that game. What else do I have? What are we on here, Schultzy? Are we on number two?
I just moved to two.
Yeah, Jalen Ramsey news. I find him somewhat overrated, but he is now the highest paid cornerback in the NFL.
Yep.
He has been given a 3-year extension in Miami worth over $24 million per year.
It's funny because we just had this with Patrick Surtain, and then they were like, no, here you go. So it is now Surtain, Alexander, Terrell, Ward. Look, when you talk about elite corners, I mean, there's a lot of people think it's Sauce Gardner and then a pretty big gap between them and everyone else. So whether, you know, any of those guys, I think you can make a conversation that they're the second best corner. And if you're Miami, that's kind of the going rate. He wasn't going to take a team friendly deal.
Let's do it.
By the way, I think Xavier Howard, who used to be his opposite, I think he's still unsigned.
Number one.
I don't think he's anywhere right now.
And number one, we've got more NFL tonight. It's the Eagles and the Packers. They are in Sao Paulo, Brazil, and they will kick off here shortly. The Eagles are slight favorites. Also, Russell Wilson saying he is iffy for Sunday because he's hurt.
Yeah, I saw a couple of reports today out of Pittsburgh that sources are leaking that it's going to be Fields. They don't think that Wilson's going to be able to go with that calf.
There you go.
Does it really matter, though? I mean,
does what matter?
Is there a difference between Russell Wilson and Justin Fields? At this point, one's more athletic than the other one, but...
Where's Kenny Pickett when you need him?
Kenny Pickett is out of there. His baby hands have relocated to Philadelphia.
Where's Mason Rudolph when
Russ
you
can throw better than Justin Fields?
I'm not certain that he can.
I don't know about that. Yeah, I don't know.
Okay.
I think there's... My point is, it's the definition. Whichever quarterback you go with, it's a big pile of meh. You can win with them.
The Hot 5 at 5 brought to you by Victor Rico's Mexican Food, the most popular burrito spot in Oregon. Order now at victorricos.com. Is it a decent little college football Saturday in week 2?
Let's talk about it.
We're going to find out next, and you're going to hear AI Kyle Whittingham on The Fan.
What's better than watching your team win? Winning money while you do it. I'm Jim Costa, and on Cash the Ticket, Mike Valeni and I give you the edge to make every game playable. College football, NFL, we're breaking it all down game by game. Your podcast feed is going to be filled, and you're going to love it. You can click on the games you care about. We do it all. With our analysis, we're finding games that other people aren't talking about. We're turning every Saturday and every Sunday into days where you got a chance to win. Don't just sit on the sidelines. Cash the Ticket with us. Follow Cash the Ticket in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
All right. Yeah, we're watching the kickoff. It's about ready to kick there in Brazil, and they painted the Eagles end zone with black. Yeah. It's black so and white.
Stupid. But at the same time, the field's green. So,
I know.
The field's green, so are we really bothered by the fact that Philly's end zone could be green?
I mean, like, am I supposed to hate Oklahoma State like I do Oregon State because of their orange? They just make, like, Clemson as well? Like, Syracuse?
I mean, look, growing up in Kansas, we hated purple. Kansas State.
Yeah, I mean, Duck fan, right? I guarantee.
We still to this day don't wear purple.
People in Oregon don't like purple between the Ducks and the Lakers.
That's right.
But that doesn't mean I won't if, like, my favorite player got traded to the Utah Jazz wearing purple, would never pick up the color purple. Come on.
You said the Ducks.
Oh, yeah.
Do you think they'll boo the field?
Boo. Speaking of Oklahoma State, did you see the rumor that a couple trolls started about Oklahoma State, Arkansas, and Ollie Gordon?
No.
Yeah. Well, Oklahoma State plays Arkansas.
It's a 9 a.m. game, by
the way. That's one. It's one of the better games, and Ollie Gordon's like the best back in college football. Someone started some online troll account, and it got Oklahoma State fans in a fever. It was trending. They said that Ollie Gordon was out of the game because he had the clap. And people bought it.
Wow.
Oklahoma State fan was like, what? It was like an online investigation into it. People had to be like, Oklahoma State had to be like, look, he's not out of the game. Like,
he has the clap, but he's going to play.
Yeah, he's got the clap, but he's going to play. I just have all the things. Like,
I'm a man. I'm 40.
God, the things that people buy on the internet, it's fantastic.
Yeah, so it's not.
It's not.
I mean, you know.
Someone said it best on the Vancouver text line. It's Texas, Michigan, and then a bunch of regional games.
Yeah.
Because Texas, Michigan is, dude, come on. That's
good stuff.
That's meat and potatoes right there.
I can't wait. That one's going to be a 9 a.m. kick on Fox.
Yeah.
And I'm excited because I finally hung an outdoor TV. And nice. So I'm gonna be out there probably at 8 with a Bloody Mary.
Must be nice to be Isaac Robb.
Yeah,
outdoor TVs.
I don't know why I didn't do this earlier. But because we have the spot for it, I just never put one there. And then my neighbor moved. You know, my meteorologist neighbor?
Yeah.
He has upgraded.
Really?
He's out.
Oh.
Well, so he left me a TV.
Oh, did he really?
Yeah, 55-inch TV. So I put it outside.
You got to be careful. I think some of those TVs, you like, I don't know, the moisture. So just be aware.
It was free.
Yeah, it's true.
You're going to short out?
I mean, I got a cover for it. I mean, I got all kinds of, you know, I got it all nice and it's under a nice little awning and it's got a cover and everything. I'm just really excited. I think I'm going to open a bottle of rosé.
Rosé all day, baby.
And watch Texas, Michigan. How's that? Is that hot?
Some rosé at 9 in the morning?
Yeah, why not?
Yeah. Well, look, you can't drink all day if you don't start in the morning.
Get an inflatable hot tub, sit in that all day, and then you're great to go.
You know, I took my father-in-law to Bi-Mart today. He's a big Bi-Mart guy.
Is he really?
Oh, he loves it.
That's fantastic. Him and Mike Barrett?
He knows where everything is. Yes, and Mike Barrett's voice came over the loudspeaker while I was in there.
Mike Barrett, the voice of Bi-Mart for years.
And we did see the inflatable pools.
Oh, yeah.
They have them in there.
Yeah, they got them in there.
It's like $150.
Are they the nice ones, though, with, like, filters or whatever? Or is it just the...
I mean,
Well, some of those, like, actually have filters, and like, and then others, it's just like you fill up a tepid pool of your own filth.
That's not what I'm talking about. I'm talking, like, a legitimate hot tub that's just... Oh. It's an inflatable, but it does have the filter. It keeps it at 110.
It is
legitimate. It just costs a tenth of what a normal one does.
Will you stop pushing his buttons?
No, nobody's pushing my buttons. I'm on the inflatable hot tub train.
I can't help it. Look how passionate he gets. God. It's adorable.
Can I say one more thing before we
passion
get back to the
comfort
college football schedule here? They showed both coaches here, Packers, Eagles. Mm-hmm. Is Nick Sirianni, is that Matt LaFleur on drugs?
Whoa.
Yeah, I want you to look.
He's all haggard and...
Sirianni looks terrible, by the way.
Yeah.
And LaFleur, and they're both kind of young bro-y guys.
Yeah.
LaFleur looks, you know, you can tell he takes care of himself. He's put together. Sure. Sirianni looks like he's on drugs. Dude, he's got the big circles under his eyes.
Yeah. You want your mind to be blown? You know who Nick Sirianni is.
Who?
It's not Matt LaFleur on drugs.
I just want you to look at them tonight.
Yeah.
Specifically.
All right. Nick Sirianni is Joe Fish's older brother.
Oh, yeah.
Look at Nick Sirianni and then look at Joe.
Yeah, he definitely looks like Joe Fish. Touchdown Packers.
That's right. My pack, baby.
Anyway, Texas Michigan's an early game. So yeah. So your best game tomorrow is 9 a.m.
Yeah.
It's not even close.
No. I mean, honestly.
All the other good stuff is late.
Yeah, the Oregon game is what, 7 o'clock?
Yep. And so is Oregon State.
Yeah, 7:30.
Yeah.
Oregon State is playing San Diego State.
Look, I know that that's no one cares about the game outside of Corvallis. I'm intrigued by that because, like, I still don't know what the Beavs have. Like, their schedule is, in theory, you look at their schedule and you're like, I don't know, can you see 9-10 wins? Sure. But, like, the first half didn't look very good, and then they just ran all over Idaho State, but it's Idaho State. You got Oregon coming up. This game here against SDSU, I think this is a big game for Oregon State. I think this is big to gain some momentum, and I will I'm gonna have some eyeballs on my Beavs.
So I was looking at San Diego State. They're 1-0. I couldn't tell you who their coach is, but they beat Texas A&M Commerce last week.
What?
Yes, that's a real school.
Texas A&M Commerce.
Correct.
You think they just tell people they beat Texas A&M and hope that no one watches?
I had to look it up. That's formerly East Texas State.
And now it's...
If you must know.
Hmm.
So that game's at
weird.
That game's at 7:30. So all the West Coast teams... So Arizona plays Northern Arizona at 7. Washington State plays Texas Tech at 7. Oregon State plays San Diego State at 7:30.
By the way, that's Sean Lewis.
Oh, the Colorado offensive coordinator
is
their coach. Yeah,
yes.
Arizona State plays Mississippi State at 7:30.
All right, that's...
and USC plays Utah State at 8. That's on the Big Ten Network. Although that'll be blacked out if you have AT&T.
I was right about to drop a Pac-12 SE. Oh yeah, that's
and then of course Oregon Boise State's at 7. So all the West Coast teams play. Well, not all of them, but most of them play play in that late window, which is exactly what the networks wanted.
Yeah,
Colorado Nebraska is tomorrow. 4:30.
That's another one. Again, not the most high profile game, neither team ranked, but another one that I will I'll keep some eyeballs on.
And Tennessee, the only other ranked matchup is Tennessee is playing at NC State. Tennessee is 14th. NC State has already dropped a game, I think, but they're 24th. Or no, they're 1-0, but they kind of slugged.
Yeah, it wasn't. They were trailing. Yeah. Who were they losing to? They were losing to some. Yeah, Western Carolina. But you know, they came back and they pulled it out, won by a comfortable margin. But it was tight for a bit.
Now, most importantly, Baylor is playing at Utah,
mm-hmm.
and today we had AI pregame press conference.
Yeah,
and I would like you to take a listen to this. This is Kyle Whittingham. This is a reporter, and then Kyle Whittingham.
Coach, Baylor is coming off an impressive win and looked to be much improved over last year. You escaped Waco last year by a nut hair. How do you plan to avoid the fulfillment of the prophecy this year?
Hey, T-Rex, good to see you. Give my regards to Ashley Hodge. I love what he does at Baylor basketball games. And tell Etheridge that I ate at the Forge last week and the Wagyu ribeye with tallow butter was superb. To answer your question, I don't really think Baylor has improved much at all. You know, coaches are expected to be complimentary of upcoming opponents in these press conferences, but let's face it, they played William and Mary last week, and William was injured. I don't know who is calling their plays on offense, but Terrence Williams would be an upgrade. Their offensive line couldn't block an artery with an open thorax and a grease sandwich. The Titanic took a better route than their receivers run. Holy Toledo, that quarterback sucks. His game film looks like my wife after a box of Franzia, sloppy and erratic. And they have a white running back, for goodness sakes. The defense looks a little better with the Mexican Mr. Clean calling plays, but that's like being the smartest poster on Texags. Their defensive backs couldn't cover a Burger King tab with a stolen credit card. Their linebackers are slower than free shipping. If we don't hang half a 100 on them by halftime, we're doing it wrong. We're only watching film of their punter because he'll get more snaps than the quarterback. Bottom line, their ass.
Yes! That's AI Kyle Whittingham.
Oh, my God. Can we please cut the end. I need that as a drop. Bottom line, their ass.
Go ahead and climb out of my ass for a while.
I also love, I don't know why they have a white running back, for God's sakes. That's another one needs to be clipped, because that will be useful in the future. Next time we're talking about the 49ers, we can throw that one in there.
I mean, there's probably 10 drops in
there. Oh, that's so good.
But I just everybody's all scared of AI. I'm sorry, AI is great for that reason right there. Press conferences in AI are way more fun.
The problem is like when people fall for it, like Tom Hanks recently, I guess, is appearing in some sort of weird bizarro ads for timeshares or something. He had to again make a public statement saying, that's not me. Please don't fall for it, because people are dumb and they will fall for anything. So that's where AI is scary. What?
We can't help that.
No, we can't. Hey, bottom line, AI is ass.
You know who did fall for that? What? Schultzy. I sent that to him. Like, I watched it. And immediately I was like, wait a minute, that sounds like AI. And then, of course, you can see Kyle Whittingham's.
Yeah.
And I mean, the lips don't match. Yeah. It's just like, oh, okay. Well, and then you hear the nut hair. You won by a nut hair.
Yeah, that's.
It's like, okay.
Yeah, there's going to be clues.
I can't wait to listen to this. Well, if you're fooled by that, yeah. I mean, you're a moron.
Yeah, I don't know what to say.
Thanks. So, thank you. No.
And Schultzy was.
Took me about 30 seconds to where he started just kind of continuing to rattling them off, and I'm like, do you have these written down? Oh, this is AI. Got it.
Well, because it goes over the top. Like the Brian Ferentz one, when that one came out, we were both like, hey, God, I want this to be real. Like, you had your fingers crossed. It was absurd, but also maybe just realistic enough where there was hope. That's so far over the top, starting with the exactly. nut hair. Like,
yeah.
you know.
Yeah.
But when it's close and somewhat reasonable, you're like, maybe. I mean, I so wanted Brian Ferentz.
Go ahead and climb out of my ass for a while.
I wanted that to be real.
All right,
it's
guys.
It's real to me, damn it. It's real to me.
Let's get into Oregon Boise State with Joey Harrington. He joins us each Friday, courtesy of Mods PDX, and we'll pop him on next, find out how worried about the Ducks he is when we return. But first, Schultzy with SportsCenter.
Story time with Joey on 1080 The Fan.
Well, panic in the streets, Jason.
Absolutely.
It's Thunderdome. Oregon only won by 10. Joey Harrington is here to talk everyone down. Or maybe he's not.
No, we're off the ledge. I don't know.
I don't know. I don't know. What say you about the Idaho game?
Did you have one like that in your game?
Well, number one, I'm jumping off the bridge right now because, you know, one week determines the college football season.
Yeah.
You know, we all know that.
That's right.
That
we must overreact.
Is indicative of the entire season. And did I ever have, we talked about this. I had like total stinkers.
Yeah. But he wasn't here last week.
Oh yeah. I was gone.
We talked about this last week.
Oh, did we? Then yeah.
Joey never played great against bad teams. He says, which is weird.
Never.
Yeah.
Never. Never. But then I'd like throw six touchdowns against Arizona State or, you know, but like I there were games where I, you know, threw for like $170 and a touchdown against Idaho or something like that. I mean, it's bad. So,
what's weird is though, they didn't play bad. Like Gabriel completed 83% of his passes from was 400 yards. That was the weird part is like outside of the right side of the line, and I hate calling out college kids, except now they're kind of professionals, but center, right guard, right tackle. Other than that, the offense played well. They just didn't score.
So here's the difference as I've kind of looked and, you know, thought through with a week removed. Yeah, they moved the ball. Was it dominant? No. Were there explosive plays? No. But they moved the ball. What they didn't do is they didn't run the ball in a dominant fashion like they have historically, and they didn't finish drives. Had they done one of those, you know, had they just finished drives, we would have been sitting here looking at, you know, would they have won by 50? No, probably would have been won by 35.
Yeah.
And we'd have been sitting here saying, all right, cool. Unfortunately, both of those stemmed from the offensive line. And you're right. Like, they were, I'm hesitating for the same reason that you are. Like, you don't want to call out college kids. Yeah. But if we're talking about the success or lack thereof, the things that you know, you can talk about things you did well and things we didn't. extremely efficient throwing the football. 80% of your passes, right? 2 touchdown passes. Defense played really well, except for, you know, giving up that last drive that cut it 17-14, right? Offensive line didn't play very well. And that's fair to say about a game assessment without, you know, calling out one person specifically, here's where you screwed up. The offensive line needs to play better. You know, they had more than half, what was it? They had gave up five sacks last year to Bo Nix.
Something like that, yeah.
Five or six. Gave up 3 in one game. You know, so you gave up more than half your sack total from last year in one game, you know, which, you know, when you're comparing it to 5. But those things are issues, right? If you're giving up 3 sacks to Idaho, you know, are you giving up 5 sacks to SC? Are you giving up 6 to Ohio State? You know, that those things become an issue. So the other thing, too, is for as much as you want to look at the roster, and this is a conversation we had on our Talking Duck show that's now back, there's a difference between this being the most talented roster that Oregon has had, which, you know, I think is a fair statement based on recruiting rankings and all that, you know, talent recognition or talent evaluation. This is the most talented roster that Oregon has had. That doesn't mean that it's the best team, right? There's a difference between taking 22 extremely talented people, putting them together for 4.5 months and saying, go be spectacular, and building something out, building a foundation, building, you know, with guys who have comfort play. You know, you know what it's like, Sook. Like, if you know what the guy to your right and left of you on the offensive line are going to do, if you know how to play off of them, if you know how to communicate, if you can read body language, if you've worked with them for 3 years, like, there is an advantage to that as opposed to new guys coming in, new quarterback. We lost our quarterback, our top wide receiver, and our top running back. Replaced with really talented people, but there is, it's almost unreasonable to expect, it is unreasonable to expect perfection the first time out. It is reasonable to expect them to play better than they did. Yeah. Is that fair?
Yeah, totally fair. And I look at the O-line too, and everything you were talking about there. And like, the thing that gives me comfort is two of the guys that didn't play very well, Lalu'ulu and Cornelius, one was a freshman All-American last year, one was a preseason All-American this year. That's not, hey, we're seeing if these guys can sink or swim. They're going to be better. Those are proven players, and one's going to move over to center when Bedford is healthy, which we think might be coming. So you're moving him back over to more of a natural position, and I would expect those guys, because it's past performance. I mean, it's one thing if you throw a freshman out there or you throw a transfer and you've never seen him, but this is a bit of a proven commodity, especially with Cornelius, who's probably a day 2 NFL guy, maybe even if he plays well, a day 1 guy. So I think that's the thing. When I watched that game, they just got on different levels, especially in pass protection. Slow off the ball, just a lot of the twists and stunts and games, they were just on different levels. And if you're an old lineman, you know that if your guard and tackler are on different levels, it's hard to pass stuff off. It just seemed clunky. And those are all things that I you know, as an alignment, those are things that are easily fixable. Those aren't, I was just getting, you know, I just was getting beat, or I wasn't athletic. And so I think, fingers crossed for a Duck fan, there should be a big jump, especially if we get the true starting 5, which we think will be there. I'm expecting a big jump in week 2.
You're saying you're not a Duck fan?
I am a neutral observer.
Mm-hmm. We'll convert you at some point.
Well, I've yet to be invited to the green couch. And so how can I be a fan without the green couch?
Well, you get an invite to the green couch once you bleed green. When you decide to be a Duck fan, then we can watch a Duck game on the green couch.
You know, the only piece of Duck gear I have are some sweet Russell Athletic Oregon sweats that one Josh Wilcox gave me before, like the team issue. I think that was probably way before you got there. But yeah, I've got a pair of the old school. They're the exact same ones that they gave us at BYU. They're Russell Athletic, and Wilcox gave them to me. That's my only piece of duck gear that I have, and I love those things.
Solid. Yeah. Well played.
Yeah, it's like you forget. Like there was a time when Nike wasn't a Nike wasn't a thing in Oregon culture.
Yeah. Hey, Rob, you there? You haven't heard much from you.
Oh.
Oh, hey.
Well, maybe they took Idaho for granted. Yeah. You know, the more talented you get, sometimes you overlook those games. Do you think it would behoove, especially nowadays, you know, with the college football playoff being expanded and you can drop a game or two here or there, do you think it'd be better to play a tougher game out of the gate, get guys' attention, as opposed to Idaho?
I never liked playing, well, not that I had any choice, but I always thought it would be best to play a tougher game in your second week. Or like a really, I don't know. I mean, we played Wisconsin first game of the year, my senior year, right?
Yeah.
And, you know, that got us rolling. Yeah, I think with a little bit more flexibility in the playoff schedule, that might not be a bad idea. You know, it could serve to benefit you. You know, you win that game and it benefits you when, you know, the seeding comes out at the end of the, you know, at the end of the season and, you know, the committee's looking and saying, all right, what are the four best teams? Well, these guys, you know, ran the table in the Big Ten and they played so-and-so in the preseason versus three cupcakes. And yeah, I mean, if you lose it, then you just run the conference and go get your spot that way.
Or a dirty little secret. I didn't ask Landon this yesterday because he wouldn't admit it, but I think a dirty little secret of coaching is that they would want it. They, you know, you play in the cupcake, you win the game, but you don't play well and you give them a lot of meat on the motivation bone. They love that.
You know, I'm not going to disagree with that. In that you always want, they always want you to play well and execute the game plan that you worked on during the week. But there is something to be said for always having a little nugget there to reach for.
Well, you want the urgency, and when you're a top five team in the country this early in the season, I mean that was. Let's be honest, even the sideline, it didn't have the typical.
Yeah, that was the weirdest shout of all time. But at the same, I mean, you're in a nail biter against Idaho. It's hard to party. I mean, everyone knows going into the fourth quarter, that was one of those. Everyone believed that eventually the dam was going to burst. And then you look up and you're like, guys, I don't know if it's going to burst. And you realize you're in a dogfight. That's scary stuff.
Yeah, when I was sitting there not watching the game because I was blacked out, I was thinking the same thing. Not me personally, but my television. Yeah. Oh my I was God. Like, you know what? It's not really going to matter because at some, you know, okay, great. I'm not going to see the game because, you know, after halftime, they'll just unload. Nope. Definitely tracking that thing on my phone and getting text message updates from Fentress.
All right, let's move on to Boise State. We'll do that next with Joey Harrington here, courtesy of Mods PDX on 1080 The Fan.
Story time with Joey on 1080 The Fan.
All right, we're back with Joey Harrington. We turn the page. Better opponent this week. I don't know that you're worried, but you got to have a little bit of worry considering what happened last week. And Boise State's a pretty good team, probably one of the better group of five teams, right? I mean, you got to be worried a little bit.
They're no joke. I mean, they have arguably the best running back in college football right now. You know, you better bring, if defensively, the thing that makes me feel better is that this wasn't a defensive line. We're talking offensive line, right? If we were talking about defensive line issues going against this running back, then I got a little bit more, you know, I got a little more nervousness in the tank. I feel fine. You know, offensively, they get it figured out. I don't think it's going to be a 52-point win. I could be wrong. But, you know, they're just too good at running the football right now to really feel like this is going to be an explosive game or a runaway game, I should say. But, yeah, I mean, this is a decent team that is not going to be a pushover.
Yeah, but, you know, Georgia, I mean, again, week to week, who knows? But Georgia Southern, I mean, they threw the ball for 322, ran for a 139. I mean, 27 first downs. Like, this is kind of one.
They, they're going to score. Yeah. And that's my point is Oregon's going to score.
Yes.
Or they should. I mean, yes. We thought Oregon was going to score in Idaho.
Dude, if they don't,
my point is, okay, great. Exactly. Yeah. You go down and score. And I'm drawing a blank, of course, on the running back's last name.
Genty.
Because Genty, that's right. You go back and give the ball to Gent, you know, like that. You're not getting it back right away. Right. So my point is, sure, Georgia Southern put up, you know, 50 points, 40, you know, 45 points on them. But this isn't something where you're going to be in a shootout, right? This is something where you're going to have to lock down a running back that hasn't been locked down before, or else you're going to be in a high scoring game that you're going to need to finish drives, which is what you didn't do last week.
Yeah, the guy's name's Ashton Genty, and I guess he's a Heisman candidate?
Yeah,
I mean, that good?
Oh, he's for real.
Yeah, real deal.
You look at, like, Pro Football Focus and a couple other sites, and depending on who you look, he is the one or two. Him and Ollie Gordon out of Oklahoma State are the two NFL backs. So, yeah, I mean, this is a first round NFL draft pick. How he ended up staying at Boise, I mean, and this has been going on for a couple of years. Give Boise State credit. They managed to hold on to this kid. And you know, a lot of people came with some dough because he would start at any program in the country.
For sure. Yeah. I mean, he's physical. Yeah. He's got great vision. He's got great balance. Like this is a guy that he's going to take multiple guys to bring down, to bring him down, right? This is a guy where you have to be sound in your defensive scheme. You have to be sound in your responsibilities. You have to be sound in your gaps to corral him. And it's going to take work.
Yeah. And he can break it. I mean, he had a 77. He had a couple big ones. I mean, he racked up 267 yards on 20 carries against Georgia Southern. I know it's Georgia Southern, but yeah, he's a big time guy. So it's nice in that this is kind of like, if you're looking for like the ramp up, like Idaho was kind of scary, right? You played well, played great on the defensive side of the ball, but you're looking for improvement and another test. Offense needs to get some rhythm and get going. Boise's kind of set up perfectly for you because they're going to give you a hell of a test on defense. We'll find out exactly how good the defense is. And then from an offensive standpoint, you should be able to score at will. And like, if you're not putting up consistent points, now we can kind of mash the panic button. So it's actually kind of a perfect test, a perfect ramp up for Oregon in week two.
Yeah, I agree. I mean, there are plenty of people that started, you know, massaging the panic button, you know, there for a second. But like, if you're not scoring points this week, then it's like, you know, now we're pushing.
What about this scenario? What if they score a bunch of points, but the right side of the offensive line isn't very good again?
Then it's concern. Then it's concern.
So we see that again this week.
It's
like, oh boy.
Yeah, it's not good. But again, I go back to it. I mean, it can happen, but those are two proven players. I mean, it's so weird. I chalk that up to, I don't know, man, maybe you didn't have a good night's sleep. Again, maybe you just took things too lightly. Those are two good offensive linemen. We don't know about the center, but again, I don't think he's going to be the full-time center, but
you know what the message boards were saying?
What?
Hungover.
Oh, I mean, who knows? That's... Message boards are great,
man.
Right?
Yeah. Joey's always on there.
Yeah.
I'm sure he knew that.
Aren't message boards from like when I was playing, like,
yeah, and they're still,
you
there.
Know, like early 2000s, like who's on a message board?
That's a good point. Like,
I know people
that have message boards moved to social media, or are they still like,
no, they're still
URLs there. Where you go and post your hot.
Yeah.
And like, I thought that was like, that was Y2K type of stuff. Like, if you're on a message board, then you know what? You have more issues in your life than you need to figure out.
Well, I mean, that's like the whole 4chan. And I mean, they're different places, but they're there, man. And whether it's Facebook groups or Twitter spaces or, oh yeah, man, I got two friends of mine, one at Washington State, one at Washington, and they go on these things, and they're both are like successful, like people, but
I'll never understand.
They can't help themselves.
Why? What is that?
I don't know, man. It's just, why do people like professional wrestling? It's it's just a thing.
Did you see that Bill Belichick joined InstaFace this week?
No way. Bill. No way.
He went, Yeah, so he, gosh. I saw the like the video, I was watching the Sports Center and saw the video that he did. He's like, yeah, guess you probably wouldn't expect me to be on this place. but I tried to log on to, what was the Snap? He said, I tried to sign up for SnapFace, but it wouldn't let me. So
I can't even imagine.
Well, his child,
yeah, I was like, all right, sweet.
Well, his child bride probably set it up for him.
He's
dating a toddler, for God's sakes.
Yeah, that's...
We're going...
Dude, he's
a toddler?
He's like 22. He's
that's
like
not a toddler.
It is when it's compared to him. What? How old's Bill? Bill's like, what, 60? Is he like 68? Is he 70? Yeah. How old's Bill?
I actually think he's in his 70s.
Is he in his 70s?
He is 72.
I would say... He's 72?
Yeah.
I think she's 22.
Yeah. There's a good 50 years in there.
Yeah. I'm sorry. I understand she's not a child, but that's a toddler bride. It just is. When there's a 50-year gap, I don't feel one bit bad. I'm sure they have wonderful conversations about God knows what.
Maybe he'll be on Toddlers and Tiaras.
With her. I guarantee she told Bill that he needed to be on InstaFace.
We've gone south. Yeah. And I blame you for that. You brought up Bill Belichick,
InstaFace,
Instagram.
No, you brought up the message board, yeah, and it made me think of InstaFace.
Right. Hey, he's hosting a dinner up at UW. I think it's $25,000 to sit in there and listen to Bill talk about InstaFace.
Tebow's coming to town, too.
Oh, God.
What's
now we've derailed.
Tebow's coming to Portland?
Yeah.
To do what?
Yeah.
To inspire?
We'll talk about faith and finance.
Well, we talked about it on In the News, Jason, if you were remembering.
I wasn't here.
Today.
Oh, yes.
You must have just not been paying attention.
I wasn't feeling well.
This is not recorded.
No, not at all.
But yeah, faith and finance.
I better be there.
Dude, it's kind of freaky.
Oh, boy.
But anyway, let's let him go, okay?
Yeah, we've derailed.
Ducks 0-3 against Boise State since 2008.
Yeah, well, they're 0-3 lifetime.
Well, since 2008.
Wait a minute, we talked about this last week. That's right, but I'm still confused. I thought that I thought LeGarrette punched the dude at home, but it was at Boise.
Yeah, it was at Boise. Yes. And then tried to go in the stands.
They lost back-to-back years.
Yeah, yeah.
2 years in a row. That's right. Yeah. I forgot about that.
Bellotti couldn't beat him. Chip couldn't beat him.
No.
Can Dan Lanning beat him?
Oregon has never defeated the mighty Broncos.
God. All right. Much love. Have a great weekend. Stay cool. And we'll talk to you next week.
Adios.
That's Joey Harrington, courtesy of Mods PDX. The future of building is here. Coming up next, Hell's Angels talk.
Faith, I hope. And finance.
The club is next on The Fan.
What's better than watching your team win? Winning money while you do it. I'm Jim Costa, and on Cash the Ticket, Mike Valeni and I give you the edge to make every game playable. College football, NFL, we're breaking it all down game by game. Your podcast feed is going to be filled, and you're going to love it. You can click on the games you care about. We do it all. With our analysis, we're finding games that other people aren't talking about. We're turning every Saturday and every Sunday into days where you got a chance to win. Don't just sit on the sidelines. Cash the Ticket with us. Follow Cash the Ticket in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.